we go, that God's hand to be on us. I've been praying today, been praying all week, and reading some stuff about God's Spirit and God's power, and I don't want to go halfway for the Lord, amen? And I want God to have everything, and I want everything God's got, amen?
Amen.
But we're all sick, so pray for us. He'd been watching me. I guess somehow he knew. In my heart, I longed to be like him. In time, the closer we became, the more it seemed I grew. I'd fall, he'd pick me up. I'd rise again. He loves me even when I do the things I shouldn't do. When I fail to do the things I should. I've heard it said that love is blind. Come to know it's true. He forgets the bad, remembers all the good. In my Father's eye, there's no wrong I've done. In my Father's eyes, I am the perfect son. See someone that I can't see, and it makes me wanna try to be like the Son that's in my Father's eye. When this life is over, my last trouble I've gone through, it will be worth it all. To hear him say, well done. Maybe then I'll understand just what he saw in me. And I'm sure I'll find he was blinded by the sun. In my Father's eyes, my Father's eyes, I am the perfect son. He must see someone that I can't see, and it makes me wanna try to be like the son that's in my Father's eyes. See someone that I can't see, and it makes me wanna try be like the sun that's in my Father's eye.
Amen. That's good. Hallelujah.
Amen. Lord, that say amen. Thank God. Boy, I love that song. Amen. I don't know about y'all, but we just about got, we had a flood of biblical proportion. Ain't that what they always say on TV? Yesterday. Lord have mercy. It was good. It filled my fish pond up. It's been down. And it filled it up, buddy. I'm telling you, it come up. We'd had some trouble with it. And it come up that much yesterday in about 2 hours. The whole thing. And then I run down Hoppy Tom. I put a raincoat on the other day to burn up in it. So I put a sweatshirt on. And running, it was raining, and there was rivers of waters over people's driveways and stuff, and bridges overflowing, and good night. My roof was leaking. Steve, it showed up yesterday. I'm going to have to get him up there to look at it for me. He's a roofer. Lord have mercy. It was bad weather yesterday, you know what? I'm telling you, that's a couple of times there. I thought, good night. It was putting down some water. And the Lord always does that. He's in control. I don't know how to figure out all that stuff. But God knows exactly what we need. They talk about global warming. I figured they're going to talk about global drying. Because, you know, there's been a sort of a drought this summer. But there ain't no global drying. All right. Now, tonight, I tell you what's on my heart. And I'm going to start this tonight, something I very seldom do, and plan on preaching it, finishing it Sunday morning. Seldom do I do that. And you're going to think tonight that you're in the wrong church because you're not, but you're going to think it because of my subject tonight. And the subject tonight, and sometimes the reason us Bible-believing preachers avoid subjects like this is because TV preachers and stuff blow it completely overboard. And we're bad for that. Sometimes if somebody goes overboard on something, we shy away from it. Like all they talk about is healing, and we're scared to even mention it because somebody might identify us with that. But the Bible does teach God does heal people. He can, He did, He does, He will. It ain't just all in the past. God still can do anything. So the subject I'm going to talk about tonight is like that. It's like healing. You got these nuts on TV, that's all they talk about. So we shy away from what the Bible really says. You got people on TV who preach about prosperity and stuff, so we shy away from what the Bible says about that. So I'm going to talk about tonight about being successful. Being successful. Being a success. It ought to be our desire to be a success in anything. In our job, our career, our home, our marriage, our church, our bus route, our Sunday school class. We ought to want to be a success. So you heard me right. This is Danny Castle in the flesh saying we're going to have a message on be a success tonight. Amen. I did not get this from Joel Osteen. I got it out of the Bible. And I found the Bible says a lot about it. It really does. But our problem is we associate success with sin and poverty with righteousness. And there's two reasons we do that. I thought this evening, I thought, why do we do that? I thought when I was studying today, I thought, why do we normally say if somebody's successful, they're wicked, but if somebody's poor, they're righteous? And there's two reasons we do that. Number one is the story of the rich man Lazarus. You know, Jesus told that story, said the rich man died and went to hell, and Lazarus died and went to Abraham's bosom. So we just automatically assume that rich man was full of the devil and Lazarus was really right with God. So we just, that wicked old rich man, he's sorry, good for nothing thing. He died and went to hell. But the rich man did not go to hell because he was rich. Some of the greatest men in the Bible were rich. I'm going to name them to you tonight. I might need to go down just a hair, but just a hair. There's another scripture. There's another scripture that makes us mentally associate being rich with being wicked. And it's a statement Jesus made when he said it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to go in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven. So we automatically think, see there? They're all wicked. All rich people are wicked. And they are. They are. Most rich people are wicked. But not all. You can have a lot of money and live in a very nice house and have money in the bank, be a millionaire, and be right with God. There are some, albeit there's only a few. It's easier. Why did the Lord say that it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle? I used to preach that when I first started preaching. I said, you can't stick a little camel through a little bitty eye of a needle like that. It's impossible and all that. And then I heard some of these educated preachers tell me that it really didn't mean the eye of a needle. There was a gate over there in Jerusalem, and it was about that high, and the camel had to get down and kneel and go through. That was a pretty neat little explanation, but that ain't right. The Lord said eye of a needle, He meant eye of a needle. And you know why He did? You know how we know that? Because the next verse said, with men it is impossible. And it was not impossible for them camels to go through that little gate.
They just named it that because it was little. Just take the Bible at face value. And it's impossible for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And it's impossible for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God unless he's born again, humbles himself, and gets down. They say, you know, the rich man has to humble himself. Now, the things that are not possible with men are possible with God. So because of that, we associate success with being wicked. You see somebody and they have a business and they're successful, and so you say, poor, oh, sorry, good for nothing. And you know why we say that? Because we're jealous of them. I'm going to tell you something, people. You learn about human nature. Did you know one of the hardest things you ever said in your life is that you're jealous of somebody? Have you ever said it? I bet you half y'all ain't never said that in your life. I'd about guarantee you most of you have never said, I guess I'm just jealous. That's a hard thing to say. You just don't hear nobody say that, do you? I say, what's the matter? Are you jealous? No. Yeah, you are too. You see somebody, your neighbor comes in with a new car. Oh, they think there's something. Why you act like that? What's your problem? How come you can't say, praise God, I'm happy for them? Ain't we something? Ain't we something? It's so human nature right here, buddy. It's wicked. It don't want to do right. It don't want to do right. And if you make it do right, it wants to get the glory for it. You'll start thinking you're better than other people. And you know you didn't even want to do right. And you make yourself do right, then you think you're better than everybody else. It's wicked, wicked. I'm telling you, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. So let's talk about this tonight. And success seems unattainable to a lot of people. Unattainable. There's a mindset. And some of you have it. I don't have anybody in mind when I say this, but some of you are in the mindset of, I'm never going to get above where I'm at. I'm always going to be broke. I'm never going to have any money. I'm never going to be able to just buy stuff. I'm going to be like this the rest of my life. And you have that mindset. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. You don't have to be. My mom, bless her heart, she worried about the bills and stuff getting paid so many years that when she finally did get a little bit of money, and it wasn't much, she's scared to spend it because she's afraid something awful is going to happen. And I know a lady, let's see, years ago, this couple's divorced now, but I used to talk to them, and it didn't matter what you mentioned, she said, we can't afford it. We can't afford it. We can't afford it. You couldn't mention nothing. We're going to go to CC's Friday night. We can't afford it. We can't afford it. Now, I don't think you ought to just blow money and live it up, but if you keep telling yourself all your life, I'm poor and I'm going to be poor and that's all I'm ever going to be, I don't know if you ought to do that. I think you ought to try to do better and get your bills paid and get your house paid off and get somewhere. Now, I'll tell you something I've changed my mind on in the last few years. I always believed, and some of you can disagree with me, this ain't got nothing to do with the Bible or right and wrong, so you're welcome to disagree. I used to believe all my life that you're better off to buy you a house and own it and all that kind of stuff, and I still believe that up until a certain age. But I think if you're 50, once you pass 50, and you're starting all over, you have nothing, you're better off about it. They showed this on the news, to rent something than you ought to buy something. Because the time a 50-year-old man gets it paid for, he's going to be dead anyway. And if he rents it, it's twice as cheap, plus the other person's got the headache. They have to keep up the roof, they have to fix the leaks, they have to pay the taxes, you know, and all stuff like that. So they come out with a study, had it on the news the other day, and said once you pass a certain age, maybe it might be 40, that it's cheaper to rent something than it is to buy it. And I'd never believed that. I'd have never believed that 15, 20 years ago. But we're not going to talk about this, but can anybody elaborate on that or tell me yay or nay, or is that right or is that wrong, or does that make sense or not make sense? Anybody? Yeah. Well, that's true. It's, they say, well, you're never going to own it. Well, you ain't never going to own that other either. after you get a certain age. All you're doing is renting it. You don't even have a right to do with it what you want to anymore. Amen? But now I own my house and I thank God for it. My house is paid for. Praise God. It took forever. But it's paid for. And I'm telling you, and that's a wonderful feeling. But then you know what? You still don't get out of it. Because as soon as you get it paid for, everything on it tears up. Then you have to pay to have it fixed. You just be better off paying payments on another. It's just like a car. You know, a car, one of the worst investments you can possibly make is a car. You can get your money out of a house, but buddy, you ain't going to get it out of no car unless you're a mighty smart crook. You buy a car, you know, I've tried to figure me out a system to keep a decent car because I have to travel and I have to drive all these nearly 40,000 miles a year. But I get so mad, I think, man, I'll just buy me a little old $2,000 car. But if you buy a $2,000 car, you have to, something's tearing up on it all the time. If you buy a nice car, I ain't going to buy no new car. I just ain't going to do it. You can, I ain't criticizing you, but I ain't going to do it. It's worth $2,000 less the next day. But you get your car, it's going to depreciate $3,000 a year. For example, if you buy a $20,000 car tomorrow, this time next year it's going to be worth $17,000. If you paid cash for it, $20,000, you might get $17,000 out of it this time next year, maybe $16,000. So it costs you $4,000 to drive that car for a year. So you might as well be paying, if you paid a $300 car payment, that's $3,000 or $3,600. If you can lease one and drive a brand new one. Now, I can't lease one because I drive too many miles. But if a person only drives 10 or 12,000 miles a year, it's just as cheap to lease one for $199. Then y'all see what I'm talking about. This probably ain't doing you no good, but ain't none of us even afford to lease one, most of us. But anyway, I believe there's nothing wrong with wanting and trying to be a success in your life. I'm not talking about being greedy. I'm not talking about being a money-grabbing, hunger, wicked, evil person. It's all worships money. But the Bible does talk about. Let me name you some names of some men in the Bible that were extremely wealthy and right with God. Abraham, one of the greatest men that ever lived, had those flocks and herds. And he took old Lot out there and he said, whichever way you take, I'll take the other. God just blessed the fool out of him. Everything he touched turned to spiritual gold. God blessed Abraham, and I'm going to read some scripture to that end here in just a minute. Let's look at Joshua chapter 8, chapter 1. Joshua chapter number 1 tonight. Now, we're talking about Abraham. We're talking about Job. Job in the Word of God. While we're turning to Joshua, Job was one of the greatest men. Maybe the richest man on earth during his time was the man Job. Maybe. I don't know that. Probably. And he was a righteous man. He had kids and he had camels and this man was a multi-millionaire in his day and time, and he was right with God and feared God and eschewed evil. Job was a success. Then we see Solomon, richest man in the world in his day. One of the greatest, richest men ever. Old Bill Gates, he could have hired old Bill Gates to work for him. Solomon could have. I mean, said gold in his mansion, in his house. And then, of course, David himself was a rich man. We won't talk about all that. But look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8. Let's look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse number 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. He's talking about the Old Testament law there. But thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein. Watch it. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Thou shalt have good success. So I'm not preaching heresy to you tonight. God told Joshua, he said, you people will be successful if you'll do what I tell you to do and honor God me and do keep the commandments and do right. Now, we associate all these people that's got a lot of stuff with wickedness, and a lot of them are wicked. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, everybody listening to me tonight, everybody in here, if you'll work hard and apply yourself and stay busy and do the best you can and honor God and treat people right and tithe and be faithful to God, the Lord can make your life a success. I'm not saying you'll all become a millionaire, but I am saying He'll bless you with success. Amen? You know what I think is a success? I've done some traveling, and I'm going to tell y'all what I think is a success. Because I'm observant when I go places. I keep my eyes open. And I traveled since I've been preaching revival since I was 19. And I've been traveling in airplanes since I was in my early 20s. And I began to notice stuff. I've been to California, New York, to Florida, I've zigzagged the whole country, especially up north and Texas and Colorado and Montana. And I've been in big cities, right in the middle of New York City. And I see people in New York City, and they're like this, you know, they're fighting the traffic, and they're, you know what every one of them's trying to do? Make a lot of money. Get rich. Get me one of them penthouses up there on the 48th floor. And buddy, they don't live as far as from here, the stop sign out yonder from work, and it takes them an hour to get there. That's right. My Uncle Buster in California worked at an airplane. He worked for Boeing Airline when they built airplanes, and it took him an hour and a half to drive to work every day. And I'm telling you what, brother, I begin to notice stuff like that. You know what? They learn how to live with it. They learn how to live with it. Sit. And you know, driving an hour and a half one way to work, that's 3 hours a day driving that you don't get paid for. And it ain't like you just hop on the interstate and drive from here to down to Greensboro or somewhere. It's stop, start, stop, start, stop, start, stop. I had that backwards. Start, stop. I mean 30 minutes and you ain't went a half a mile. Do you enjoy that kind of... Lord have mercy. You talk about something that'll get you backslid in a hurry. And then somebody cuts in front of you. And then somebody gives you a bad gesture. And then somebody hollers. And then somebody blows the horn. And then it's hot. And you're about to run out of gas. And you don't know if you're going to... I mean, for years, I've seen people do that. And I've seen them saying, we're going to get ahead, we're going to get ahead, we're going to get ahead, I'm going to the big city, I'm going to get a big city, I'm going to live in the big city. And you know what happens to them? They get backslid. Their kids don't go to church when they get big. I want to tell you something. If the Lord didn't make me, I ain't raising my kids in no big city. If the Lord made me there, then okay. But brother, if I got anything to say about it, I am not raising my kids in no big city. That's crazy. Just the atmosphere is against God in a big city. I mean, the drugs, the problems, the murder, the crime, just the spirit. You can't hardly find a good church. And listen, you know what? I've seen them people in them big cities in California. And then it began to hit me a few years ago. I sat down one day and I thought, well, who do I know that I'd really would rather be in their shoes? And you know who it is? It's the people I met up in Spruce Pine and Burnsville and Bakersville. Years and years ago, I'd preach revival in them little churches. I'd preach revival in them little churches, and they'd say, hey, Brother Danny, how you doing? Good to see you. Said, now so-and-so's going to feed you tomorrow evening, and so-and-so's going to feed you next evening, and so-and-so's going to feed you. And man, I'm telling you what, up there where they have them mica mines up there and Spruce Pine and everything, I'd go up there and there's this old country boy about 40 years old, 42, 3 years old, and his wife just as sweet and pretty. Hey, preacher, how are you? We're so glad. And he got 2 or 3 kids there and they're all smiling, you know, and everything. And they got them houses there with them rock on the front of it on a big old hill. And I'm telling you, just sit out there on the porch and see for miles and miles and miles. And you go in there and sit down at that table, and I'm telling you, it's roast beef. And it's as good or better as anything they've got in California. Roast beef, I mean, you ain't going to get no better. I mean, it's filet mignon, brother, just cut a little bit different, and fried chicken and peas and corn and green beans right out of the garden and sliced tomatoes and everything. And they're sitting there and they're looking out the window and got the windows open, you know, and the breeze is blowing through there. And boy, they say, Heavenly Father, just bless. And you just feel the peace of God in there. Their house is already paid for. Their kids are saved. They work during the week, and on Sunday they take the whole day off just to regroup and reflect on the last week, look forward to the next week, sit around out in the front yard, and the grandkids play in the yard and everything. And I thought, you know what? Them people right there has got the life. And then they die and go to heaven. Now you can say what you want to, brother. That's a better life any day of the week than that rat race. Then people out there, dog eat dog and push each other out of the way and everything. And this kid, and now this one's pregnant, and this kid's got on drugs in there. He's in jail, and the whole family's all messed up, and they all wind up, and they wind up divorced, and they wind up everything just trying to get a dollar. So the Lord said, if you'll honor me and meditate on my commandments, do right, I'll make you have good success. Good success. And success, he didn't say rich. He said success. I think Brother Jason mentioned it the other day, and I quoted it a couple of times since then. He's absolutely right. He said a rich person is a person who's happy with what they've got. That's true. That's true. You've seen these people that no matter what they got, they still ain't happy. Good night. I mean, you could give them a gold Cadillac and they'd find something wrong with it. I mean, it used too much gas. And they want to fuss about something. Never happy. And but you see other people, it don't matter. I mean, they'll just wear their clothes and go, and they're just they're happy with what they got. That's why the Bible says godliness with contentment is great gain. You know what you ought to do once in a while? You ought to sit down and start counting your blessings. And just start thinking, God, you've given me this. God, I mean, think about it, people. We live right here in the Blue Ridge Mountains. We the cleanest air. We got the purest water. We got an old-fashioned Bible-believing church. We got a beautiful building. We got brothers and sisters to fellowship with. We got the King James Bible. We got the Blessed Hope. We got good food. I mean, listen, they took me. You can only eat so much. You know, somebody said, well, they took it out there. And they said, we took her to a restaurant out there in California. And man, they pile it on that high. Yeah. Well, I went to Golden Corral last night with Kathy and Kevin. I pile it on high. I eat steak and ribs, and barbecued ribs, and I eat green beans. And I, because you try to have a little something in there good for you. And I eat chocolate pie with that whipped cream piled up that tall on it. And you can tell I'm fasting right now, can't you? And I eat ice cream. And I, you know, you can only eat so much. Yes. I can eat better than Paul McCartney. Yeah. He can't eat a hamburger at McDonald's. Right. He makes $50 million a year and can't even eat a hamburger because he believes it's wrong. Yeah. Right. I eat better than Paul McCartney. He eats weeds. I eat steak. Amen. I'm a success. He's a failure. Amen. That's right. Amen. That's right. He is a failure. He even looks like they was giving out DVDs of him down there at the Democratic National Convention. Ain't that something? Bunch of nuts. And I got the DVD. I ain't watched it yet. Dean gave it to me. But Paul McCartney's on there saying, oh, if you could see how they do at these slaughterhouses, you'd never eat another piece of meat. And then I thought the Beatles slaughtered more people of their wicked stuff than that. The slaughterhouse have cows. Amen? Yeah. And I don't think they ought to be mean. I don't think they ought to just hold them up and cut their throat. I think they ought to give them a shot and put them to sleep or something. Be a little more humane about it. Now, I don't know about these chickens. If you eat any chicken, they say if you work at the chicken place, you'll never eat no chicken. I don't know. But I don't want to see that. I just want to see it on the grill and smelling good, looking good, and on my plate. I'll block it out of my mind where it come from. But seriously speaking tonight, you want to be a success? That's what the Bible says. And I'm Lord willing, I want to try to preach on this on Sunday. Now, here's another thing I want to mention. And you hear these TV preachers mention this curse of poverty. Have you heard these TV preachers preach? We're going to break the curse of poverty and break the back of poverty. Now, as far as I know, correct me if I'm wrong, preachers, There's no such thing as that in the Bible. I don't think there is such a thing in the Bible as a curse of poverty. Anymore, like if your family is poor, you're cursed to be poor. And you have to break that curse by the Holy Ghost in order to make any money. It's the same thing as the curse of alcoholism. Many people say if the daddy's an alcoholic, it's a curse on the family and all that. Now that does happen a lot, but it ain't. It's not Bible. My daddy's an alcoholic. I've never drunk in my life. That's not biblical. That's not biblical. Now many times a son will follow in the steps of his daddy, but it is not something that he has to do, and it's a curse on him, and he has no choice. The devil's got people believing, well, I'm just cursed. My mom and daddy never had nothing. My aunt so-and-so never had nothing. I'll never have nothing. I'm just doomed to be poor. No, you're not. Now, you might be, but it ain't because you're cursed. If you'll work hard and apply yourself and say, God, I'm going to do better. I'm going to have me a house. I'm going to have me a nice car. I'm going to buy some stuff for my kids. I'm not preaching anything unbiblical. I'm just saying there's nothing wrong with trying to do good for yourself and then letting God bless you. You better get it, because it's rare if you hear me talk like that. Normally I'm talking about how wicked it is to talk like that. But it is biblical. You shall have good success. You shall have good success. Let's get one more right quick, and I'm going to use this Psalm 1, everybody knows this. Look at Psalm 1. Now, in other words, what I'm saying a success is, if you're a Sunday school teacher, you apply yourself and you try and you pray till the Holy Ghost moves in on your Sunday school class. And you can see God moving on you. If you sing in the choir, you pray God to get on you. Be a success in everything you do. You say, well, that's fleshly, preacher. No, it ain't. Look at Psalm 1. Look at Psalm 1. Verse 3, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Amen. If you start a business, that business will prosper. If you'll treat people right and work hard. Success, let me tell you what success is. It's 5% inspiration and 95% perspiration. Hard work. Hard work. You show any businessman, and I want to say this. You say, well, I know a man that's successful and he didn't work for it. I'll tell you what happened to him. Success and suffering are like twins. They can't be separated. Success and suffering. Listen to what I'm saying. You can't have one without the other. If you're a success, somebody suffered. Most men that's a success have worked their fool head off for what they've got. If they didn't, somebody before them did. And they inherited it. Now, if you succeed without suffering, somebody has suffered before you got here. Probably your daddy, your granddaddy. If you suffer without succeeding, listen, somebody after you will succeed because of it. That's good, isn't it? That's good. If I suffer all my life and I still don't get nowhere, my kids will benefit from what I do. If I suffer without succeeding, somebody after me will get success. If I succeed without suffering, somebody before me suffered. Anybody got a question or a comment? Here's just some good advice. Take care of the cents, and the dollar will take care of itself. Take care of your pennies, and the dollar will take care of itself. In other words, be careful how you just throw your money here and throw a little bit here, and 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 a little bit here. The first thing you know, you ain't got none. Have you ever met these people that, listen, ladies especially, or anybody who stay at home, these salesmen come along, and they're going to sell you a vacuum cleaner, or they're going to sell you a set of encyclopedias, or they're going to say, and you wasn't sitting there all day saying, man, I sure do need a vacuum cleaner. You didn't even know you needed one until this guy got through. And then he says, you can save $300 on this. But if that ain't a crooked line, if I've ever heard it in my life. It costs $1,000, and you're giving it to me for $700, and you're telling me I'm giving you $700, and you're telling me I'm saving $300? See, you can't afford to save too much like that. They say, well, I bought this for the kids and we saved so much on that. And I went in debt for this and we saved so much on that. And, and first thing you know, you're in debt so much you can't pay your bills for all this money you're saving. You know how to save it? Don't buy it. Don't buy everything you see. Don't buy everything from everybody coming out. Lord, I know people that salesmen like to see them walk in the door. Oh, boy. If they've got any money, we'll get it today. Man, I ain't like that. I'm tight. My daughter gave me and said, Daddy, why won't you buy this? I said, you know why I'm like that? Because I know what it's like to be broke. Yeah. I've been broke. And I've been, I mean, when we first started our church, I went 6 months with no salary, no income. And I was preaching somewhere every week. So I traveled here and traveled there, and I said, I've either got me to get me a full-time job somewhere or something. And I said, God, I'll do whatever you want. And I talked to Ernie, he put down asphalt paving. I said, I'll just go to work for you if you'll let me work, and I'll get where the church can help me. And I didn't go eat out. I took stuff home and I fixed sandwiches. I didn't buy nothing. I didn't buy nothing. I didn't buy no clothes. I didn't buy anything. I got in a habit of that, and I just sort of stayed like that, you know. Sort of got tight. Because if you watch some people, you ever know these people that they cannot hold on to money? It burns a hole in their pocket. If they got any money, son, they're going to Walmart and spend every blessed bit of it. I mean, when them taxes come out, woo, we're rich for a day. But you better hold on to your cents, and the dollar will take care of itself. Here's your line if you're a businessman. Be an offhand man. You know, rich people said this. Be an offhand man. Make a bargain at once. Don't fool with unlucky people. That's not scriptural, but it's business sense. Don't fool with somebody that everything they start flops. You ever met these people? Every time you see them, they got this scheme. This is it. I'm going to get rich this time. Buddy, I've got a friend of mine like that right now. And every time I see him, he's that close to getting rich. And he's been that close to getting rich for 15 years. And he's as poor or poorer than he ever was. I want to say, just go get you an 8-hour-a-day job and work it and get rich the slow way like the rest of us. Watch out for people that's always trying to cut corners to the top and say, oh, I figured out a way to get rich. Now, you ain't going to figure out no way to get rich quick unless you look up like Bill Gates or you're a drug dealer. And then we'll be visiting you in prison. Amen. Anybody want to say something right quick or ask a question? Lord willing, I'm going to deal with this Sunday morning. If the Lord don't change my mind, I hardly ever announce like that. Anybody right quick? We're going to talk about being a success. Absolutely. Absolutely. Remember my story about the people in Spruce Pine? They're not millionaires. Nobody in Hollywood knows their name. But I'd rather be in their shoes 10-1 than I had some of them people out there. 10-1. They're happier. They're content. They don't want nothing. They go to bed at night and say, Lord, thank you. You've been good to us today. Good night, Jesus. You know, wait. No worries. The kids is all saved. Meat in the freezer. I mean, don't even lock the doors during the day. Now, you tell me who's a success. And these people up there in them cities, dog eat dog, this one out, and she's up and she keyed my Porsche while I was in this club dancing with her husband. And good night. You call that a success? That's a flop, brother. That's a flop. Well, I woke up, and they had me arrested, and I got a DUI. And I know I'm a football player, and I'm making $1 million every 6 months. But now I got that ain't a success. It's not a success. Always calling the cops and having domestic violence and stuff like that. That's not a success. Anybody else, right quick? Amen. All right. Here's what I want you to do. Some of y'all can do really good financially. And I hope you do. I hope you do. I'm not jealous. I hope. I don't. If I know my heart, I hope the Lord blesses everybody in here financially. And I hope you get rich. I've never thought about getting rich. I know I'll never be what you'd say rich in this world. I don't want to be. I don't want to be rich. As long as God takes care of me and my kids are saved and healthy and happy, I ain't asking for much. Amen. If your kids are saved and healthy and happy, buddy, you That means more than silver and gold. Let me tell you. It means more than silver and gold. Let's bow our heads for prayer.